that the words of our mouth, of my mouth, and the meditation of all our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable by your work, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, our Father. Amen. May seem an interesting text to preach an installation, but I was struck as I was, and I've never preached from this text, so my apologies up front. I was just so encouraged, though, seriously, when we were watching and listening and praying with you about your pastor selection, and then when I heard that Michael was the man that the Lord had put his hand upon, I just was also in Job and towards the end. So I think it's has much application. And so let me read the text and we'll jump right in. Very brief passage towards the very end of Job. Some of you are very familiar with Job, others are not. So I'll spend a moment or two laying some foundation and then we'll get to it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. And now this is Job quoting God. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. And then again, now he's quoting God. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you make it known to me. And now back to Job. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. And may God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Go ahead. No, that's fine. We should have just all come in here and rehearsed. Everybody else, we were all gathered, meeting and rehearsing. I think it's exciting to think about how the Lord would have us worship, and you should thankfully and joyfully worship at the installation of your new senior pastor. I think also, you may be familiar with the confession. Job has made some amazing confessions, and to this day, I know many of you have quoted or heard quoted what Job says much earlier in his experience of much trial and suffering when he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I will see him with confidence. Only the power of God could give him that faith and give him that insight that Job knew in the midst of his great loss and suffering, that one day not only does his Redeemer live, but one day he will see him, and he would see him on this earth, and he would see him in the flesh. Very powerful. But tonight I'm going to focus on this confession right here at the end after he's had God do business with him. And I'm going to suggest to Pastor Michael Mock and to the congregation of Cross Creek Presbyterian Church that is what you are about. That's what we are about. That God would do business with us. That he would meet with us. And that through the proclamation of the Word of God, through word and sacrament, as we say in our tradition, that he would meet us. And we would repent. We would, by faith and repentance, be changed in the midst of our interacting. Quite simply, we'll see three confessions here in this brief passage. And I want you to hear Job, because what Job is doing, and he's making a good confession, but what precedes that confession is faith. So he's believing the thing that he is then going to confess. And these are the three things that he believes and thus confesses, that God can do anything. Amen. I have to work with my Redeemer, Prez. I have to give them permission to say amen. I tell them, you know, I know you're Presbyterians, and of course half of them aren't, but you can say amen. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for God. Second thing he believes and confesses is that we face impossible tasks. Michael, all pastors, all elders that engage in this thing that we have read about in the Old Testament and New Testament of shepherding or being the under-shepherds, we face the impossible task of declaring things too wonderful to understand, much less to explain. And the third thing that Job believes and he confesses here is that our calling, your calling as a believer is to an intimate walk with the Lord that is full of faith and repentance. So we are called to that. It is a life of intimacy with the Lord that is characterized by faith and repentance. So let's look at these very briefly. Now, there's an advantage here. I just jumped you to chapter 42, the last chapter in Job. It is a long and challenging slog. It is an amazing thing to read through and hear the interaction of Job, to see the loss that Job experiences, to see how his friends ultimately fail him, and then for God to meet him face to face right before this chapter. So I commend the whole book to you. But we're skipping to the end, and there's a little benefit here. So we can cut to this and get some application, some understanding about God's redemptive plan and his purpose, not just for Job, but for humanity, his purpose for his creation, because this is very much a redemptive story. And it's about a sovereign, majestic God in the heavens who answers to none of us, which is a hard thing for us. You know, one of the reasons it's hard, I know you went right to the real reason that you and I deal with every day, and that's our flesh, our sin. But one of the reasons it's difficult is because we were made in his image, right? We yearn to be in charge and maybe tell God about how he could do a better job. Job struggled. Job didn't just struggle, and as we'll see here in a minute, he didn't just struggle with misunderstanding what was going on. He struggled because his friends did not have wise counsel to bring to him. So after these many days, weeks, we may even think months, and we find Job here confessing these truths that had served him in the past and have come now to serve him well, his family, to serve his community, and I would dare say to serve us well. After wrestling with God, wrestling with his friends over these issues. I think installing Michael Mock tonight as your senior pastor is an opportunity for you to pause. It's a transition, isn't it? We miss Josh Owen. I miss Josh Owen. It's fun to go to Presbytery and have my brother from another mother, you know. Is Josh Owen? No, that was Bob Owen. You know, we blame each other. But he's gone, and the Lord called him to another place, and he's doing great work for the kingdom, and we're glad for that. And so this is a pause for you to think and to look to the Lord so that his truths, his word, and his spirit would do a great work here at Cross Creek. So let's look at this good confession and consider how it will change Michael. It will change you as Cross Creek, but it will change us all as we participate with Job in making this confession. I submit to you, these are the confessions we need to do in an ongoing manner. So let's look at the first one. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. Occasionally, it is nice to reflect back. It is good for us to reflect back on our own lives, the lives of people we know, our family members, historically, to reflect back and say, what has God done? One of my concerns, one of my interests, one of my prayers is that God, in the darker moments that you think, that I think may be going on amongst us, actually might be working a third great awakening in our midst. I don't know. Wouldn't that be incredible? Darkest before light. You've heard it before. Think about Job's life. It was dark. It was foreboding. It was a lot of death, a lot of loss. And yet God bursts upon the scene and changes Job forever. From the end of verse 6 that I stopped with to the rest of the chapter, you got to go read it. It's just glorious what God does with his life, but I digress a little bit. You might quote at some point, you might be tempted to quote to Pastor Mock as Jesus said that, you know, the people, his detractors and critics, as well as people just didn't understand what he was going to do. He said, you will no doubt quote to me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. You know that from Luke 4. Jesus was perceiving their unbelief after hearing about his miracles in Capernaum. And though they were admiring Jesus, the passage says they admired Jesus and his gracious words. Nevertheless, they could not see past what was the issue. And I'm just going to cut to the chase, for this is your opportunity to grow. The familiarity they had with Jesus. Because what did they say? I remember. Is this not Joseph's son? It didn't matter if he had raised from the dead, he'd healed the leper, he'd healed the cripple. It did not matter. Is this not Joseph's son? Physician, heal thyself. There was at a minimum confusion. there also was unbelief that this could be the anointed one, the called one, their Messiah that they were looking for. So there's irony in the whole book of Job, and there's irony in Jesus' experience with people. I think it's very strong in the text. It's strong for your benefit and mine. Multiple places, the writer, through the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit, uses irony, doesn't he? In any Old and New Testament passage, and it's intentional, and I think it's very powerful for Job here as well. Job's first confession that we should hear and make it very similarly in this sense, that throughout this whole interchange he has with God and his counsel, that God and Job, that Job and his friends, the irony is the real truths that they missed about God and about what was going on with Job were the things that would have actually comforted him and would have brought restoration, would have brought, as it did with Job, brought faith and repentance. And listen, God can do anything. That's what he ends up, after all that had happened. God can, and there's another interesting version or application of that. He can, and he does, and he will do anything. That his counsel and his will, his perfect will, according to the confession, calls to happen. Nothing is impossible with God. Michael, you'll do well to remember this. Confess it. Regularly, confess it in your preaching, in your quiet times with the Lord, in your counsel session, my fathers and brothers in the Lord, confess this truth. God can do anything, and he will. Congregation, brothers and sisters, facing whatever you're facing, not only now, but in the future, God can do anything, and he will, according to the counsel of his perfect will. God can do anything through Cross Creek. I've been at least near and far watching you for 25 years. God is working mightily, sometimes quietly, but he's working mightily. And you have the privilege of being here. Nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God to use Senior Pastor Michael Mott, Cross Creek Presbyterian Church, to bless his holy name, to lift high Jesus and draw all men unto himself. And I hope you'll pray with me about that, that God through word and sacrament, through this small church, but solidly built upon the foundation with Jesus as its cornerstone, can do mighty things because God is working for you. And that leads us to the second confession that Job makes here. He believed and thus confessed, "We face this impossible task, Michael, of declaring things too wonderful for us to understand, too wonderful for us to explain, too wonderful for us to imagine." And yet that's what he calls us to. All the preachers are nodding their head. He calls us to preach the whole counsel of God, things too wonderful, both the revealed mystery of Christ crucified, resurrected, and ascended, as well as the mystery that we don't understand, that he has not revealed to us. It's a task too wonderful for us. And that's okay, right? It's okay for us to engage in things too wonderful, too difficult, impossible for us. Because what are we called to? What did I say? What did the word say? What do you tell your children? We are called to a life of faith. I used to tell my chaplains around the world, listen, you are men that are made with feet of clay, but you carry around in you a priceless treasure, the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are men and women, army soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, that need to hear the wonderful things that you have to present. And this is true for all of our churches. We have, you have, as a Christian, this wonderful thing that you carry in you is Christ crucified, him indwelling in you through the Holy Spirit. Yes, Michael, you are called to confess and to teach, to proclaim these things that are too wonderful for you in your preaching, in your counsel, in your making of disciples, elders, in your being a fellow under shepherd, helping these wonderful people, these sheep, as we read about in both the Old and the New Testament readings that you heard tonight, that are trying to raise those little lambs that God gave to them, proclaim these things to them and help them disciple their children as we work together to raise up disciples. So acknowledge and practice this reality with Michael as fellow under-shepherds. You're under the authority of the Great Shepherd. It's an impossible task for you, but He is the Great Shepherd. And if you notice throughout those passages that were read, it was God doing all the work. He's just looking for faithful men, faithful women, faithful people. But in this case, faithful men that will proclaim and work that this impossible task that He's going to empower you to declare the whole counsel of God in word and deed, to focus all your ministries of this church around the Word, the spoken and lived Word of God. And at this point, Michael, Cross Creek, our fathers and brothers of Central Carolina Presbyterian beyond, you're wondering, and you might even still be perplexed and saying, what? What are you going to say? How? How can this be? How is it possible? Well, I've already mentioned that with God, all things are possible. But let's look at the final confession and it'll help unpack it a lot more. So the last thing that Job believed and he confessed was that our calling is to a life of intimacy and repentance. Because you remember what he says? But now my eyes see you. He said, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. Job knew a lot about God, and he was even vindicated. Actually, he was vindicated in this last chapter by God himself, especially if you compare his response to Job as opposed to his three friends who are told by God to go to Job and ask for him, in some ways a type of Christ, for Job to intercede for them and that God would then work work forgiveness for them. So we know that God affirmed Job, but still Job's confession is that he had heard things about God and he had heard of God and he'd even heard from God, but now he had seen him, and all he could do upon seeing God himself was repent. But now my eye sees you, I retract and I repent. Job is now much more intimate with God himself. He's been informed about things that have happened to him, but not all things. God doesn't answer most of Job's questions, but he has received what he needs, and that is a face-to-face interaction with the Most High God. So, Michael, our call is, as we know from the Latin that has been, I think, made more popular, certainly been brought to my attention in the last couple of decades, for us to always live carpe diem, always before the face of God. That is our calling. Live before the face of God in faith and repentance. You've already experienced that in pastoral ministry. I know you have. And expect, and I'm saying this for the congregation's benefit, for the elders' benefit, expect to be undone. You remember Isaiah? Beholds God and he is undone. He uses that word. He loses, as it were, his integrity in the Hebrew. He comes undone when he beholds the holiness and majesty of God. And then what do we know happened? He was now prepared to speak. And then he answered the call. Here am I, send me. So be prepared for that. It's hard to think that this could happen to me or to you or to any of us. But if you go back a couple of chapters, do you remember what the Holy One of Israel says to him? He came to him in the whirlwind and he said, now tighten the belt on your waist like a man. I will ask you and you instruct me, will you really nullify my judgment? Will you condemn me so that you may be justified? Or do you have an arm like God? And can you thunder with a voice like his? Dear friends of Cross Creek Presbyterian Church, session, congregation, expect to hear from God as from this whirlwind, while He comforts us, while He confronts us, while He encourages us, while He challenges us via the preaching, teaching, shepherding and counsel of God through Pastor Mock. And through each of you doing that as ministry one to another, through word and sacrament, that you would be iron sharpening iron, and so building up and strengthening one another. But also expect that the loving Heavenly Father and His Son, your Savior and Lord, will continually work to restore and to remake us into His image. And on the other end of whatever that will be, that we will bless His name as we live a life of faith in repentance. Because really, at the end, we are going to be like the Greeks. Y'all remember in John 12, you remember those Greeks that were going up to worship and they come to Philip. You remember what they say? I love the simplicity of this. From Bethsaida of Galilee, and they begin to ask Philip, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." So confess that God can do anything and believe that, that nothing is impossible for God. Confess that though we face the impossible task of declaring things too wonderful for us, nevertheless, you can do so. We can do so from our calling to live a life of intimacy and repentance with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to a world that is saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you speak to us through the word, through sacrament. Holy Spirit, that you work a work even now tonight. We thank you for bringing Michael and his family, that they have been here, that they know this congregation, that you have blessed them, and you will continue to bless this congregation through their ministry and through their lives lived before them. We pray, Father, you'd work through the rest of the service as our fellow teaching elders and ruling elders come and do some of the business of our church. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.